Shut up. The footage of
Sunday.
This is one of those days.
The day of rest.
When you wake up.
The time for reflection.
The birds are chirping.
To take stock.
You're smelling the clippings off the lawn.
Except on Triple M.
Top of it!
This is the Sunday Run.
For the all-new Mitsubishi Triton, nothing can frighten a Triton.
For McDonald's.
Triple M rocks footy.
Bontenoble, Tasmania, one of the best places in the world, Tassie, and the sun is shining. It's a crisp morning, but absolutely fantastic for footy. North Melbourne call this ground home. They take on the GWS Giants. That game is in 2 hours, 20 minutes time. There is so much to get through before then. Jared Pollack from the North Melbourne Football Club will join us, as well as the coach of the Giants, Leon Cameron. The hot topics, the Rocket Files, the quiz, Jay-Z's Big Three, it is all coming up. Jay-Z, though, you've organised our next guest. A quick explanation of why he's on, and then get the man on the line if you could, great man.
Yeah, well, it does feel like the crowd security has been ratcheted up a notch. We saw in the Western Bulldogs-Carlton game last night, it did seem that there was sort of more oil patrolling. It was a bit more in your face, and that's dialed up a bit, I think, progressively over the past few weeks. So we just want to talk to Michael Green, I guess, if that is the case, and if fans are feeling a bit more intimidated or affronted by the security presence, whether it needs to be dialed back a bit.
So, Rodney Eade is here. Hello to you, Rocket.
Howie.
Wayne Carey is here.
G'day, Howie.
After a big reunion of the 20-year reunion from the 99 Premiership flag, which we'll talk about. The Chew Man was there as well. Schwatter is here.
Hello, Howie.
And I believe Michael is on the line now. Michael, we really appreciate your time. No doubt it's been a busy day for you. How are you going?
I'm good, Howie, and thanks for having me on.
No, great to have you on. Obviously, there's a lot of commentary around this issue. Jay-Z's got the more in-depth questions, but how do you feel about the way it's being portrayed and what's actually happening?
Well, I'd say there's been a lot of innuendo about security being increased. I can tell you categorically that our security and policing, there's been no requests or directives at all for us to increase, nor have we, at AFL matches this year. What we have done, Howie, over the last couple of weeks is we have increased the amount of aisle patrolling we're doing. Mm-hmm. Our motive for doing that, funnily enough, was for patrons to actually feel safe and secure in the environment at the football. Clearly, our intent was not for them to feel intimidated by that. So a lot of feedback coming in through a lot of channels saying that people are feeling intimidated by that. So we'll have to review that and potentially wind that back to an extent. But we do want patrons to know that they can feel safe and secure at the ground.
Well, I think that's a good thing, Michael, that the stadium are sort of listening to that feedback and are acting accordingly. So I think we applaud that. I think the major part of confusion for fans is knowing what they can and can't say anymore. You know, on Friday night, I think that was the member from the Hawthorn cheer squad who was spoken to by a security guard for just sort of saying something or barracking out on the field. Are you clear, or should fans be clear, on what they can and can't say?
So we are. So from our perspective, what we're trying to do is curb the use of language, foul language, and, of course, vilification. As far as people actively supporting their clubs, we've got no problems with that at all. In fact, it's a cornerstone of the atmosphere and experience of coming along to an AFL match. So there's been no change in policy at all as far as that's concerned. We do respond to SMS notifications that we encourage people to give us. Generally, that's in regards to the use of foul language. So even then, we're not throwing people out. We're actually just going and talking to them, asking to curb their language and just enjoy actively supporting in reasonable terms around families.
Michael, two-part question for you. I guess, firstly, the AFL has said that they haven't changed their directive. So have you received any directive from the AFL about crowd behaviour? And secondly, after you got through that one, is it like, how does a briefing take place pre-game, and what are the instructions given to all the security staff who do a wonderful, wonderful job?
Okay, so first part of that question, categorically no. There's been no directive from the AFL to increase or change our security processes at all. Second part of your question in regards to briefing pre-game. So we have a briefing with our security leaders. We don't obviously brief every single guard, but the briefing is largely based around being aware of what's happening around them. If they become aware or reports of foul language or vilification, then they're to act. in the regards of foul language. The first port of call is to issue patrons with a warning to curb the use of their language. And the other thing that we brief all our security staff is to be friendly and, you know, actually interact with fans and, you know, be part of the enjoyment of the experience, certainly not to intimidate. So we just need to recheck and make sure that's what's actually occurring and, you know, take heed of what we're hearing.
Hey, Michael, what percentage of your responses would be as a result of an SMS text? And what's your response time once you receive a text message?
So we probably on average between 8 and 12, what I'd call legitimate SMS texts in regards to behavioural issues. We act on them immediately as best we can. So it's then on our two-way radio system identifying the guards nearest the incident. Our first port of call is to observe and see if we can become aware of patrons who aren't behaving appropriately and then look to curb their actions or take further action if it's required around vilification or threats of violence or anything like that.
Hey, Michael, we're also discussing your magnificent roof at your stadium there. Have you got a preference whether the roof remains open or shut for AFL games?
If you're asking me personally, my personal preference is to have it open for day games. However, with all our hirers, we allow the decision on whether the roof is open or closed with the respective hirer.
Do you want it open for the grass and that sort of the ambience, the atmosphere, having a bit of a sunshine, even though the sort of players and viewers can't see?
Yeah, I actually enjoy the atmosphere of the roof open. And I would say that, you know, people quite often comment about the players can't see. Well, I think about 10 of the 16 AFL venues around the country face north-south the same as we do. So funny that the sun is an issue at our stadium but not at others.
Now, Greeny, you've dealt with all the powder puff issues. Now the hard one for you. You two appearing at Marvel. You got any spare tickets? Because I haven't got any at this stage and I'm a big fan of Bono and the boys.
Howie, you contact me offline and we'll see what we can do.
Oh, you're a good man. Michael, we appreciate you coming on the show and bringing a little bit of sense to what's been going on in the last 2 weeks.
Thanks a lot, guys.
On you, Michael.
Michael Green. I reckon that was a tick to the Bono question.
I reckon so. We'll let us know when we're going.
Yes,
is BT the official Marvel Stadium ambassador? Because the mayonnaise he piled on during last Friday night's game was unbelievable. Did he talk it up?
Does feel like there's a commercial arrangement there somewhere, doesn't there, Schwatter?
We love to be outraged these days, Duck. I think Michael just brought a lot of sense to an issue that has become nonsensical for mine.
Yeah, I agree. And I think one of the points that I took from what he said was the fact that there's just more people walking around. So it makes it look as if there's more going on, Schwatter, when in actual fact they've done that for a reason and they've had a little bit of feedback. And by the sounds of things, that's going to be pulled back. So let's hope. I mean, you're right. It's just common sense. You know that you're not allowed to swear at the footy. If you swear at the footy, then you're going to get a warning or be thrown out.
That's the first. Is that the first? That's the first time I've heard that the reason for the stronger presence through the aisles is because of a safety issue. Is that being communicated through this whole debate at all?
No, it's been unclear what's been happening.
It would have been handy to have that over the course of the last couple of weeks, wouldn't it?
Yeah, and remember at the start of the season, there were a few flare-ups in the crowd, but we probably haven't had the clear communication. So I think it was timely that we get them on the record about this. But I think it's clear that they're also going to dial back some of this aisle patrolling. It's a bit too much in your face.
It's a bit of an overreaction from those in the public sphere, Jay-Z, surely they're saying, oh, this is out of control and we feel intimidated at the football. Come on.
Tend to agree, Howie.
Come on. All right, there's a lot to get through. Hey, this is a big game of footy today. We'll speak to the coach of the GWS Giants in a moment, Leon Cameron. Hard team to get a read on, Rockets. Sometimes you watch them and think this team's going to win the premiership by 10 goals. Other times you watch them and think they might not make the 8.
Yeah, that was disappointing last week. Leon would have been disappointed with their performance last week. Now, normally they win contested ball. They got beaten by 19 last week. Adelaide's pressure was very good. Where they scare teams, and I keep harping on it, they scare teams with their ball movement and their ability to run and move the ball quickly. And they seem at times scared to make mistakes. So it was a kick and catch game last week early, and they didn't ask Adelaide any questions. And at times we saw them against Hawthorn. They're very similar to that. They really should have been able to put some speed in the game and take some risks. I suppose calculated risks, because their midfield's so strong and can run and got good skill. I reckon they should invite the pressure, because they they handle it so well with their ball use. When they go a bit slower, they tend to bring the opposition into the game.
Breaking news as far as the Kangaroos goes?
Well, I think that Scotty Thompson, who has flown to Hobart this morning, his wife, beautiful wife Lauren, is due today, I think, to give birth to their third child. So he has flown to Tasmania and is preparing to play in the game. But should he get that emergency text message that it's all beginning to happen, he might make a quick trip back. I think he's asked North Melbourne to keep him informed during the game. Should anything happen, he wants to know about it. So, I think she's due today, and should all go well.
Ever tried to get a flight out of Tassie?
Yeah,
there's not that many.
I'm not sure.
Unless they've got something privately on standby.
I think he'd have to be gone by about 1 o'clock. Yeah. I don't think he'll get one
Fair to say, from my experience, I spend a fair bit of time down there. The most delayed airport in the history of the world.
Yeah, not a lot happening down there.
And coming from, from a football perspective, if he, and by the way, fair enough, he wants to be updated, but if you're going to be like that, he should have just stayed at home. Because it disrupts the team as well as, and obviously if something does happen, then him getting back there is, obviously
takes time.
It's going to be difficult. So he should have just made the decision and said, well, I'm not going.
I think the other thing with that, Duck, as well, is it going to be on his mind? So is he going to be distracted during the game? Do they tell him at half time? And then is his thought process not on the game? So is that a detrimental effect on North?
The great Anthony Hudson attempted this with I think it was an Adelaide game, with his beautiful wife Eloise due with one of their children. Hutto, being the professional man that he is, flew to Adelaide. I think he got a flight home on the Triple M jet. That's the way the boys used to roll at that point of time. And was there perfectly in time to arrive 7 minutes after the birth of the child. So you've got to be careful with that type of thing. Leon Cameron is on the line now, which we really appreciate, the senior coach joining us on the afternoon of a match. G'day to you, Leon. How are you?
Howie, how are you?
Yeah, fantastic. Tassie, what a joint. A nice time for the boys to get away. Did you stay on the Apple Isle last night? Were you down at the wool shed, or where the Giants base themselves?
No, we were at the Grand Chancer downtown. So we got here yesterday, had a little run at the ground, and then nestled in for the night and watched the footy, and then up we are today and on for a huge challenge.
Hey, Coach, the boys have got all the serious questions for you. But on the night before a game, obviously it's always a bit tougher to sleep when you're away in hotels, but are you a man that heads hit the pillow and you go straight to sleep, or do you throw around a million different machinations the night before a game?
No. I sleep pretty well. It's pretty cold down here, so it helps you. It helps you sleep. But I sort of work's done, final meeting, have some dinner, and then I sort of watch a bit of footy, and that's it for me, and sleep pretty well. So I'm okay.
Leon, last week's game was obviously disappointing. Most weeks, you've won contested ball. You lost last week by -19. Was that the most disappointing aspect of the game, or was it the fact the ball movement in the first half?
Oh, I think the first point, Rocket. Look, as we know with contested ball, it's not everything. I mean, you can still win games and not win contested ball, but when you're sort of -19, that's a fair smacking. And so that was the most disappointing thing. And when we actually got the game on our terms in the third, that was all on the back of that and played in our front half. Everyone's trying to do that, every club. But clearly their hunt was a little bit better than ours, and probably our broken tackles was the disappointing thing. I mean, your ball movement's going to be stifled if you're not winning it as much as you'd like to. Sometimes you just got to win ugly, and we were doing that for about 2.5, 3 quarters, but there was patches where you'd go for 10 minutes and it'd be -6, -7, and clearly the hunt was in their favour.
Hey, Leon, preparing for the Kangaroos today, have you seen anything different in them in the last couple of weeks to what they were doing prior?
Yeah, I think they probably just slowed their ball movement down a little bit from their back end. I think they're probably a bit more conservative, and they'll take more long down the line. If they see an opening, they'll take it still. But clearly, I think the last 2 weeks, compared to the first 7 or 8, that's probably the biggest thing, that they will kick long down the line to either Goldstein or Brown, or will come up, and their numbers will sort of get to that pack. But clearly their pressure has gone up in terms of their tackle pressure and centre forward. They're locking the ball in and scoring from that.
Hey, Baker, how have you seen Mummy's reintroduction this year? And also, what's your instruction and expectation given the job he's got today for a large portion of the game, considering Toddy Goldstein's form again?
Yeah, Yeah, it's a like, firstly, his reintroduction. He's been, you know, we're a little bit surprised of how good it was. I mean, coming out of 32, as we said, you know, he's trying to take a calculated decision on bringing a guy out of retirement and looking at all the history of the game, how well it actually happened. And so we're sort of mindful of, you can't have expectations too high, but he's had some really good games. In the last few weeks, he would be the first one to say that he was, you know, he's been beaten and he's a bit banged up, but the eight-day break has no doubt come at a good time for him. So he's sort of rejuvenated with that extra day and rest those knees and ankles issues that he's always had in the last 6 or 7 years. So, but we go into a game that Goldstein is clearly on top of his game. The duel between those two is probably going to have a huge bearing on the outcome of the game. So, I mean, Mummy's got to play to his strengths, and his strengths are ball hits the ground. We all know it. He goes after them. He tackles them. He lays off first give to our midfielders, and it helps us at ground level. That hasn't been there the last couple of weeks. Whereas Goldstein's ruck craft is obviously, you know, very, very good, and his ability to run. I mean, Goldstein stays on the ground for probably 95% of the game, and his ability to push forward and disturb the opposition in that way is going to be an intriguing duel. So sort of two different ruckmen. Hopefully it goes our way.
We're speaking to GWS coach Leon Cameron. Hey, Leon, you've got one of the best taggers in the game, if not the best tagger, in Matt DeBoer at the moment. Done some massive jobs on some star players. Been talking a lot about pinching in the last 36 hours. What is your view? What be your response or your take if you found out one of your players was pinching and niggly punching an opponent? You for or against that sort of stuff?
Oh, I think there's a level. I mean, let's be honest, guys, there's a level of acceptability. I mean, there's niggling and tagging and probably disturbing the run of a player. I mean, I think Matty DeBoer is very, very good at his craft. He probably doesn't go to the levels of probably what you just stated before. He probably just, his concentration levels are phenomenal, and he stays with his opponent. And sometimes Matthew will finish a game and said, I should have come off my opponent instead of just worrying about the guy I was tagging, and I could have helped our team defence. And so he's working through that, and that's probably the reason why a lot of sides don't like to go down that path, because you can leave a bit of a hole when team defence needs to be played. So we're still working through that at times when he does run with. But, I mean, the other night was probably overboard, and I was lucky enough to be at Hawthorn for a couple of years, and Ben Stratton's a superstar player. He's a fantastic person. And no doubt he'll put up his hand and turn around and say, probably went overboard. But we live and learn. We make mistakes. And Strats is a star of a person, and he'll move on.
Leon, I said it at the start, we don't say it lightly. We always really appreciate talking to a senior coach on the day of the game. Jay Clark's got one more question, then I know you need to go.
Leon, just finally, I know you got a big conundrum. When are you going to have this knee replacement, mate? I see you on the ground. Yeah. And this limp of yours seems to be getting worse, mate. You need to look after yourself. Are you going to get that fixed up or not?
Jay, can you give me yours? Look, it's one of those things. It's probably, been 4 or 5 years, but it does probably look a little bit strange, but definitely need to get it done in the short term. But I think the biggest thing is guided by the doctors at our footy club, and it's probably in the next 1 or 2 years, but I need to probably take the right amount of anti-inflammatory game day, mate, to get my bottle back up running. So, no, it's fine. It's not about me. It's about the players. So my knee can wait.
Coach, one short piece of advice from me. All the people you know, I wouldn't be getting body parts from Jay Clark. I'd look elsewhere. But we appreciate your time. Best of luck to you and the GWS Giants today down in Tasmania.
Cheers, guys. Thank you.
How are your knees, Clarky?
I've had arthroscopes in both, so they've...
from all that sitting at the desk, it's just worn you out, or what's happened?
Look, I know you look at my portly figure and think that I need to ease up on the donuts, but I was once our high school running champion, long-distance running champion.
Well, what sort of K's?
I used to run, like, 5K.
What times were you knocking out?
That's pretty quick, like, okay. Low 20 minutes.
Ooh, sharp. All right, there you go. You've run yourself into the ground.
Genuinely... 20 years ago.
Low 20 minutes for 5K.
Yeah, well, come
it's
on,
a bit slow, eh?
It's slow.
It was our high school.
It was in C division.
Not exactly a sort of Kenyan style.
Try out squat at North back in the day.
Maybe it was a slow school.
Sounds like it was a real slow school. Sounds like more you were in the
Harris Seagrave.
To be honest, Clarky. Now, we love you, Jay. We do love you. Ben Stratton, obviously, it has been made... the main point of discussion in the last 48 hours in the world of football.
He's going to front the tribunal on three separate charges. Obviously, the pinching for on the Essendon speedster Razio Fantasia.
So is it going straight to the tribunal, is it?
Yes, mate. Yep. Okay. And then, obviously, he gave the crowd the bird, the obscene gesture, so he's been fined for that. But also, and probably the most ugly one for me, was the stomping on Sean McKernan's foot. If you haven't seen it, it happened in the last quarter. He looked at McKernan's foot, then quite deliberately stomped down hard on that. Now, there is a precedent for this. James Sicily got one match for this last year for the stomping. The pinching Ryan Crowley got a $1,200 fine, so he might get a fine for that. And he's been fined for the obscene gesture before. But Schwatter, 1997, qualifying final. Carl Steinfurt, what happened?
He slid underneath my foot as I was trying to regain my balance.
Stomp on someone.
You got four matches for that.
I did.
Got four.
Yeah, how does it harsh.
How does it sit? Harsh.
Unlucky.
You're such a ball player too.
Yeah,
I can't believe that.
How does it sit with you now, Sean?
Well, I mean, the game's changed. The game's changed for the better. And I don't think Ben Stratton's a bad person. He's just had a bad night. And I think some of the hysteria and some of the reactions are a bit over the top and slightly ridiculous. So I think it's the right course of action is to take it to the tribunal. I think the stomping is probably worth a week. There was no damage done. Sean McKernan stayed on the ground. It's the pinching. I just think the pinching, Jay, falls outside the spirit. And the question I've got, did Orazio, and I don't know, did Orazio complain to the umpires at all at any stage?
He did have a chat to Ray Chamberlain. Yeah.
And then the goal umpire with the vision behind the goals where Ben Stratton is pinching Orazio again, what's the goal umpire doing? Yeah. Why don't the umpires just pay a free kick?
We asked Ray Chamberlain that on the Dead Set Legends yesterday. He said they can only pay free kicks for what they Shitty. Saw. So he obviously didn't see
Let's have a listen to Ray.
Any free kick, you've got to be able to see it, don't you? And players are smart, particularly the experienced ones and the ones who get it and are unbelievably good. And so they know when you're watching where. And so you have to see a free kick to be able to pay it. But of course, if you've got enough of sort of evidence around the edges, then we can do things like make an incident referral, direct something to the MRO, and then people who are way above me on the organisational chart, they'll go about making sure that, you know, things are looked after in the right way, and I'm sure that'll all take place.
People have their opinions, a completely separate topic. We're going to hear from Ben Stratton in a moment. I love the fact that Ray Chamberlain gives a voice and a face to the umpiring fraternity rather than these blokes that we don't know, that we don't hear from, and just get given stick. You hear him, oh, he's a good bloke, he does his best, he's going out there doing everything he can. Here is Ben Stratton on the same topic.
Actions last night probably weren't a great look for the game, and sitting back, it's not something I want to be known for. As captain, I've got to be better and set an example for not only the Hawthorn club, but also any kids out there.
So he's owed up. He's made a mistake.
Yeah, I think it hasn't been just 1 week with Ben. 2 weeks. He did it to Charlie Cameron the week before. It wasn't pinching, but just constant punching in the arm. And so for whatever reason, I agree. I think he's a very good player. He's obviously first year as captain.
Doesn't need to do that stuff.
He's clearly he got away with it the first week, and nothing really was said. So he's obviously thought, well, you know what, I can get away with it again. And now that he's been pulled up, I don't think you'll ever see it from him ever again. But I think he'll probably get a week for probably both.
How would it have been viewed if Orazio had whacked him? After three quarters of being pinched,
you couldn't begrudge
him. Yeah, but he still would have copped a penalty of some description for doing it.
The retaliator. And that, see, back in the day, Howie, you would say, if you keep doing that, pow, pow, you're going to get whacked.
How would it go?
Pow, pow.
Oh, pow, pow from Schwatter.
There may have been another couple that you wouldn't see.
Schwatter the Stomper. The quiz coming up next. Old Stompy Schwatter.
Pot, Palmer, and proving you're smarter than your mates. It's the Sunday Rubs Pub Quiz.
The biggest quiz going round since Tony Barber and Sale of the Century, this one. Rocket is on four, Ducks on three, Jay-Z's two. Nate Brown, who's been here for 1 week, is on one, Schwatter is here.
Hey, just drop out, Brownie. There's no need to
Brownie's been
reference.
Here for three and he's got one.
You keep living. Schwatter hasn't got one. Is your butter...
I've got one. I had one.
Can your buzzer be stompy, stompy?
I'd love to say two other words right now. Stompy, stompy.
Stompy, stompy for
Howie,
you.
Howie.
Rocket.
Rocket.
Duck.
And JJ. All right, here we go. General knowledge with Will's quiz, which is always very, very nice. According to their song.
Hey, why don't you just give Swatter the answer?
I'm moving around the other
I'm
side.
I'm not looking.
You're
duck.
Sitting there with the sheet right in front of you.
Station's here.
I'm halfway out in the Derwent River now.
It's a quiz with no prize. You think we're playing for a premiership the way Duck reacts.
Howie just doesn't learn.
He's a slow learner.
You take it very seriously.
He's a slow learner.
All right. According to their song, Duck, which AFL club comes out snarling?
Duck.
Rock.
Oh, Duck.
Comes out snarling. Bulldogs.
Through and through. Good start by my man, the Duck. Which is the only club whose song references the Australian state they are from?
Duck. I would say South, the Crows.
We're the pride of
South Australia.
That's enough.
Even after 15 pots, he's good. Yeah.
Which club references a cakewalk?
Duck. Collingwood.
Ooh, nice. Three out of three for the Duck.
He's up and about.
Voice, hey? He is. Yeah. Definition of cakewalk, which is an absurdly or surprisingly easy task.
Oh, thanks, Howard.
Thank you. Blast from the past. Don't go with that stuff. That's Friday and it's not clever, intelligent or accurate. Name the three clubs celebrating 10, 20 and 30-year premiership reunions in 2019.
That was me easy. Hawthorn.
Yes.
Obviously the Kangaroos.
Yes.
And the other one would be...
Yes.
Stompy.
Ducks out. Rocket.
Geelong.
Geelong. Who else?
Hawthorn.
Yes.
And the Kangaroos.
That's correct. Geelong of 2009, north of 1999, which Duck was at yesterday with the Chew Man. He's going to tell us about that later. And the great Hawthorn team of 1989. Guess the year. Okay. In this year, the Brisbane Bears made the finals for the first time.
Rocket.
Oi.
Well, you played, didn't you?
No.
Okay.
No. 1995.
It was. Ooh, Nick Holland that? Won the Rising Star and Ted Whitten did his famous lap at the MCG.
Swip and Norley? No, Wolsey. It's Wolsey's last year.
Was it really?
Wolsey. Okay, audio round. I'm going to play some audio and you need to tell me what happens here.
So, for 90 years, the Collingwood Footy Club have held the record. Will he write his name in the record book forever?
Come on.
This kick.
Duck.
It's going to...
Stop the audio. Duck.
Well, is it to do with Tony Lockett?
It's your answer, pal.
When he kicks the most goals in the history of the game?
Yes, correct. The 1,300th goal.
Good Duck.
Well done to Duck. He's on four. Rocket's on two. Two-horse race at the moment.
Did you give yesterday a good nudge or not? I'm wondering whether you might have just tanked it.
What do you think?
I think you should have a reunion every week. You win the quiz. Who did Tony Lockett overtake on the All-Star?
Lockett.
Oh...
Gordon Coventry.
You can't just say it. You didn't even...
How does he...
Who are you giving it to?
This is crap.
Schwatter, it was you.
Gordon Coventry.
That is
Thank
correct.
You.
Rocket, you got away. You got away.
I was first. That's why I was saying
Rocket. I will not be judge here. A sponsor watch. Duck's area of expertise. But this week, a twist. It is stadium sponsors Duck. Which AFL venue shares its name with a shoe brand?
Rocket. Blundstone.
It is. The great boot. Rocket goes to three. What was the inaugural, which means first Jay-Z, naming rights sponsor of Docklands?
Swatter.
Swatter.
Telstra Dome.
No.
JJ.
I said it.
Yeah, but you got to go a second time, mate.
Oh, that's bulldust.
Listen, just because you've coached and won four premierships, you don't make the rules, Skipper.
Fair dinkum.
Clarkie? Yeah.
Colonial Stadium.
Yeah, it was Colonial.
That's bulldust.
Jay-Z gets on the board. Rocket getting a
just
little
Just because you feel sorry for blokes who don't score. You don't have to cheat. You come on to Swatter them under him.
Part C. Which AFL venue is named after a chocolate bar?
Swatter.
Yes.
Mars Stadium, Ballarat.
It is in Ballarat. Swatter now. It's nice and even. Rocket 3, Duck 4, Jay-Z 1, Swatter 2. In the news, which player celebrated last night?
Swatter. Dale Thomas.
Yes, 250th game. Now, Rocket. To the Who Am I. Very, very tight at the top. Who am I? I was born January 24th, 1983 and played for two clubs, Wayne. I was a two-time leading goal kicker and won a premiership with my first club, Rodney. I played my
JJ.
Last... JJ.
No,
this would
no.
give you an equal tie.
Scotty. No, I'm out.
He's out. I'll continue the three-point question.
Sorry.
That's okay. You don't need to apologise for coming last. I played my last 2 years at Collingwood and retired in 2014.
Duck.
This for the win.
It's not Rocker, is it? Anthony Rocker.
It is not. Duck can still potentially go to the playoff. 2 points. Now it's Rodney and Wayne. I finished second in West Coast's Best and Fairest in 2008 and famously, like Michael Jackson, wore a glove.
Oh, I know who it is.
Well, then it's too bad because you're out.
Oh, God. Did
I say the first person?
Give
it the first
just name zip it. Oh, you clowns that are already out of it. Oh, you got 3 seconds, Shorter.
Come on. He's out.
He's out. Now, Rocket, you get the final clue. And if you get this, you tie Duck. 1 point. My name is Quinton
Lynch.
It is. So we got a playoff, which I always enjoy. Rocket 4, Duck 4, Jay-Z and Schwatter out. Tiebreaker. Here we go. Are you ready?
Yes.
All right. As of today, which team is second on the AFL ladder?
Duck Rocket.
Oh, I'm going with Duck for the win.
Second on the AFL ladder, yes. Right? As of the
yes.
live ladder?
Just right now.
The live ladder. That would have to be.
Just give us an answer.
Come on, Doug.
He can't let him do this.
Hey, answer the question. You got 3 seconds. You got 2 seconds.
Collingwood.
Yes. Duck wins it. Duck wins it. The king of the delaying tactic gets
unlucky
the job Rocket. Done. Oh,
very unlucky.
I was cheated out of it today. No doubt.
Strong performance.
Oh, Howie. Strong Howie, you've shafted me today.
Rocket reckons the DRS has got him. And Duck needs to go to a 20 premiership reunion every time. And he'll be the king of the quiz.
This is why Dennis Pagan loved him.
Yes.
Had a big weekend. Still
That's
front
right.
up at training on Monday. Trying hard.
And
quiz
still
hard.
The, and still get the job done.
He does it.
That's it. Can't miss with the Duck. A tough unit that nothing can frighten is a fellow by the name of Scotty Thompson. He joins us on the line down in the rooms in Tasmania. Good afternoon to you, Scotty. We appreciate your time on game day.
Hey, boys. Yeah, it's good to be here.
Hey, wonderful to speak to you. You've got a bit on your plate this weekend from what we can gather.
Yes, expecting our third child. So haven't come yet. So hopefully she can hold off for another 12 hours.
Limited flights out of Tasmania, Scotty.
I was going to say, you might be in a bit of trouble, Scotty.
Yeah, I think we fly out at about 9 o'clock tonight. So surely I'll be fine by now. So, fingers crossed for that.
Anyone the Kangaroos got deep enough pockets to organise the private jet?
Oh, I was trying to find out if someone had one, but I don't think so.
Well, I'm sure it'll all happen as planned. The boys have got lots of footy questions for you.
Scotty, thanks for the home insulation advice when I saw you last week. Because, mate, you'll be happy to know that I've done 80% of it and our house is now a lot warmer and I didn't get bitten by any spiders, so I appreciate that.
Very nice, very nice. It sounded like you needed some help.
Well, I did need a lot of help, mate. Hey,
we appreciate your time, Scotty. Thanks for coming up. Here you go, Clarky.
The new coach, Reece Shaw, I mean, he seems like it's been a breath of fresh air. He's talked about releasing the shackles and playing with a bit more speed and instinct. Can you talk about the impact he's had on you boys and if any changes on the way you're playing?
Yeah, obviously, coming from our defensive coach, Wynn, you're in pretty well for the 6 months he's been here. So he's been good for the whole group. He's getting around everyone and... Yeah, giving everyone the license to play their football, with a bit of confidence. So it's been really good so far.
Hey, Scotty, it makes a big difference, not just this the last couple of weeks, but over the course of the first 12 rounds to see Toddy Goldstein recapture his form.
Yeah, he's been awesome. So last year he got back into form and this year he's been awesome. His tap ruck's really good, but his follow-up and his ability to get around the ground, he's been awesome. We love him down back because he actually comes back and takes some big marks for us. So he's had an awesome year so far.
Hey, Scotty, would it be fair to say that Reece is the sort of guy that probably has got around the guys a little bit more than what Brad would? Would that be fair to compare him in that way?
At the moment, just him starting, I guess, yeah, he would. But I can remember Brad first when he first got to the club. You know, he got around the boys a lot as well. So... he's been really involved with all the lines so far and it's been really good. I think all the boys are enjoying it.
I know you got a big game today, Scott. I mean, wish you well for that. But can you tell us what the energy atmosphere was like in the room in that last pre-game address that Brad Scott had before his last game. He sort of said some players got emotional. You obviously been with him for a long time. What was it like that few minutes?
Yeah, it was a real weird feeling. We didn't really know what was going on until that meeting. So yeah, it was pretty sad finding out. Walking up to the get round and not knowing what was going on with your senior coach was a bit weird. And then Brad filling us in then was it was pretty sad and emotional. And you know, all I can say, yeah, it was pretty sad.
Hey, Scotty, Benny Cunnington knocks up 200 games today. He's been an unheralded player, rarely does any media. Did I think he might have appeared on the Kangaroos podcast during the course of the week. An important day for him, but an important opportunity for you as a group to make sure that you give him the performance that he deserves. He's been an outstanding player for a long period of time.
Yeah, he's a great player. Obviously, the inside ball and just gets the job done every week. He's very underrated, even though he's so good. And it'd be great for us to get a win today going into the bye and really set our back half of our season up if we could get the win today.
Scotty, you've had a fantastic career, mate. We're speaking to about Benny Stratton earlier and the pinching with Orazio Fantasia from Friday night, mate. I remember you and Barry Hall having a bit of a skirmish back on the day, that famous wrestling match where you handled yourself very well, I must be said, because he's a big boy, Barry. But I remember you speaking after that and you said you probably wanted to change your game a little bit because you're an excellent defender and you didn't necessarily want to be known, you know, as someone who really niggled. Can you tell us about what happened sort of after that incident?
Yeah, it was probably Brad really got me in and kind of that's how I got a game, kind of knew opponents, but he saw that I could probably just play football a bit more naturally and play my game. So yeah, we kind of steered away from that a bit, still trying to get into your opponent, but just not those kind of tactics I used to do. So changed up a bit and I was pretty happy I could change up a bit as well.
Hey, Scotty, we appreciate you talking to us on game day. Best of luck in the game of football and best of luck to you and your wife and your family with the impending birth.
On you, Scotty.
Thank you.
Very nice to speak to Scotty Thompson.
Hard-hitting question from Jay just to open up the interview.
Well,
the insulation.
It'd be unfair to go, no, it's not the insulation, mate. It's the one you followed up after that. Now, you are the number one journalist in the country as far as football goes. You probably don't realise quite how this came up, but just have a listen.
I mean, he seems like it's been a breath of fresh air. He's...
The old Brescia Freth air.
What do you reckon? If
absolute
I
ripping fella, Pitcher Craps. Crips, that was on that.
Pitcher Craps.
Sometimes I wonder what else I would do. Like if it sort of ended tomorrow. It'd,
insulation.
Yeah,
champ.
Landscaping or something else. Yeah, talking, not necessarily
what did you call
my
Paddy Crips?
Pitcher Craps.
That's almost as good as Cont Pendlebury.
Yeah. Oops.
A nice performance yesterday by both sides last night when Finchie was smacking him everywhere. It was hammer and tong with the Blues and the Dogs. Somehow the Blues got themselves back in it. The Dogs held on in a thriller on Triple M footy.
The Blues are going to have to try and do something special because Dunkley's going to wrap it up and we're going to have a stoppage with 15 seconds to go.
High.
With a free kick's being paid.
He's plucked a free, Joey.
He's over. Plucked a
Bulldogs
free kick.
Free. Wow. Dunkley to take it. He's had enormous numbers tonight. Siren goes. It's all over. Brave charge from the Blues. It came late, but the Doggies have hung on in a thriller.
Charlie Curnow, was it the breakout game? His coach, David Teague, spoke about the young forward after he snagged 7 last night.
Yeah, what I've been pleased with is the way they've sort of worked together as forwards. Charlie had the match up today and the other boys allowed him to get one-on-one contests. And Harry and Mitch and himself to have 9 goals between them last week, they got a good spread as well. So to get 9 goals between them, I think, is really good. But I thought Charlie today, he put his hand up and competed strongly and looked very dangerous.
Fascinating game this one, boys, and some big news to come out of it. So Tommy Liberatore hurt his knee. It's not an ACL. Hopefully just
tight knee.
Bone jarring. I'm actually not sure. I thought, is it the same knee or the different? I thought it was different knee. No, I think it's the other knee. Shorter. So cleared of the ACL. Josh Dunkley, he has become an A-grade midfielder. 41 possessions, having an outstanding month. And as you said, after Patrick Cripps' outstanding game last week, last night it was Charlie Curnow's time to assert himself as an elite young talent. Kicked 7 goals. But Rocket, I think generally speaking, we're liking the Blues releasing the shackles under David Teague. We're seeing an attacking game style and talent come to the fore. They kicked 100 points last night.
Yeah, I think the Carlton supporters will actually walk away from that game with a lot of belief that what has been spoken about the young talent they've got now we're starting to show their wares. And I think people, we talk about teams that defend and they just defend, or teams that just attack. You actually need both. And actually working together, where probably earlier in the year, except for probably some little bits here and there, the Carlton have just defended and just really gone down the boundary and tried to get a stoppage and been slow with their ball movement. But you could tell last night, in between that, the arc and the centre circle, they're hitting lead-ups and they're prepared to come back into the corridor. So they're prepared to move it quickly. We've got talent like Harry McKay is going to benefit from that now going forward. Curnow's kicked seven. Just need a Mitch McGovern to chip in as well. And they can score 100 points. And so they'll be certainly pleased from that. And I think the thing with players too, it's a... Their whole life has played footy and they've liked getting the footy. When you play a game, and I'm not saying Carlton did this, but when teams, you score 60 a week and you play a defensive game, it really does wear you down after a while. And I think what they've been able to do now is show they can score on the scoreboard, but guys are touching the ball as well.
Mm. You've been bullish on the Blues, Duck, and I know you had last night.
I think they've had a really good year. They've been flogged a couple of times.
Two bad games.
Two really poor games. Every other game, I think they've been competitive and had a chance to win all of the other games that they've been in. And I think the disappointing for them this year is they should have probably pinched another couple of wins. But they've got to learn from that. And I think one of the things that, and I didn't see the game last night, but one of the things that disappointed me a couple of weeks ago, Swatter, when they lost a close one, was they still had a chance to win it, yet they didn't know what to do.
Yep.
They chipped the ball around with a minute and a half to go, and I think they were 9 points or something down. So when you're in those games often enough, you should learn from them, and hopefully they can turn some of these close losses into some really good wins in the second part of the year.
Wouldn't mind seeing Carlton in the next couple of weeks get off to a good start. Down by 37 against Brisbane, came back and won. And I must admit, I was watching something else last night, turned it over in the second quarter and the... What?
Finchie.
No, I was watching an ESPN 30 for 30. Huh. And they were 52, and they put up the stats differential was off the chart, the number of ball or the amount of ball that the Bulldogs were getting. And then I turned back because I checked my phone, and it was 3 points the difference near three-quarter time. And I thought, oh, hello, here we go. So 2 weeks in a row, they've shown a capacity to find a way to get back into the game. It's been poor starts, which is putting them behind the eight ball. So I think that's a big positive. But if they can get their starts right, who knows what's possible.
Congratulations to Dale Thomas last night. Yeah. 250 games, 17 touches, kick one goal, two. A little story for you about Dale. Then I've got a question for you. I had the pleasure of doing a Rising Star story with him in his first year. And you normally go out in location, some good pictures. He didn't have much time. He was might have been living in the back of Greg Swan's house at the time. And he said, oh, how about I cook for you my pre-game meal? I thought, oh, this would be good. So we go down there, we do the interview, and he's like, right, this is what I always have. I've had it since under 10s. He cooks macaroni in one pot. He gets cheese in the grater, whacks it on the top. That was his pre-game meal. It went to air. The dietitian said to him, you are never allowed to have that before a game of football again. Premiership player with Collingwood, at one stage one of the probably top five players in the competition. The great romantic in me and the bums on seats part of me, Jay-Z, that you know I like. I'd love to see him play again next year, Dale Thomas. Where's he at, do you reckon?
Yeah, look, I reckon his form's been pretty good this year. I reckon there is still a spot for him in the best 22. I reckon we're quick to get rid of the veterans at times. He's got that continuity in his body. So I think he's well-placed. It will ultimately be up to the new coach and the list manager. And so until you get the list manager come in, it's unclear. He wants to go on. And, look, I've been pretty impressed by his form.
Yeah, look, form and energy and his body, I think his body is better now than what it has been the whole time since he's been at Carlton. I think he's moving across the ground really well. When I watch him live, his energy and the way he, you know, the team orientated things, I think he definitely should play on again. And if I'm Carlton, you'd be crazy to let him go, to be honest. They need a couple of those older heads.
Kate Simpson playing great footy.
Is David Teague an outside chance at all to be seriously considered for the full-time gig next year?
Oh, I think it'd be very unlikely.
What would he have to do by the end of the home and away, wins, losses, for him to be considered?
Yeah, more wins than losses, possibly. He probably needs a big scalp or two. Like,
but if they were to play like they've played the last 2 weeks for the remainder of the season and win as many as they lose, does that not put him in the frame?
outside chance. History says
that. What's the mark against him now? What's the reservation?
Nothing really, but I think they want someone like a Brad Scott who has got 10 years of experience and has a proven record of taking a talented list into the finals, which is what Brad Scott has done. So you're right, Schwartz. If he wins, you know, 7-8 games or even 6 minimum, maybe, but I think still very much well a long shot.
If he wins 8 games, Carlton fans will put a statue of him outside Princess Park. Yeah.
Well, that's probably what he needs.
To be fair to Brendan Bolton, we saw the corresponding game on a Sunday when Carlton beat the Western Bulldogs, and they played that similar game of football. Harry Mackay was running down the wing. They played a very, very sharp brand of football that night as well.
Yeah, no, well, as I said before, Howie, it's only really been the two really poor performances that they've had this year.
How's your voice going to go getting through the full day, do you think, Ducky boy?
I'm happy to have the rest off.
Congratulations, 20 years ago, the Kangaroos, too good for the Blues, in the 1999 AFL Grand Final, 124-89. Shannon Grant got the award for the Norm Smith Medal in front of 94,228 people. Human Nature were the band that was rocking it pre-game and half-time. And for the first time ever, Duck has done some work. He spent a bit of time this week, and he has sat with an editor all week to come up with this little package, summation, according to Duck, of what happened in the 99 Grand Final.
For the first bounce of a Grand Final, Allen got his hand on it. Capuano went a bit early. Allen got a second touch, couldn't get a kick away.
Puts them inside 50, down towards Kennedy. Oh.
This is going to be one of the best contests you'll ever see in a grand final, Silvani on Carey. Silvani started very well.
Carey, 74 goals so far this season, directly in front, 25 metres out, and the Kangaroos are on the board. Carey has the first.
Kicks the ball back inside. Carey's got it. Has a chance to kick his second goal. Straight in front. Takes his time, caresses them through, and he's got two. It's a remarkable performance by this team. They finished the 20th century as the team to beat in the new millennium. As the time ticks down, the Kangas have won a fourth premiership. Well done, Dennis Pagan. You deserve everything you've got today, and so does your club.
Listen to that. It sounds like Shannon Grant was a bit lucky to win the Norm Smith from reports. Hey, mate, firstly, before we get to the reunion, I'm sure it was a great day with all the guys and girls involved. What are your memories of the grand final? My memory is you standing beside Stephen Silvani, me thinking, wow, how good is this going to be?
I think when you think back to grand finals, Rocket, and Swat in 96, it's a bit of a blur, I reckon, because you're that focused. You don't really remember. The main thing that I remember is when you run out onto the ground and obviously the roar of the crowd, and you realise, and then you line up for the national anthem, and you realise you're in a grand final. I mean, they're the special moments, and then when the siren goes, if you happen to be in front. But speaking at the reunion yesterday with the great Dennis Pagan, I think more about 98 than I do 96 and 99. That's just the nature of the beast. Yeah, the one we lost. So that's one that I think about more and probably know more about. Because I've thought more about that game than the other two. But, no, yesterday was a great day. Pikey was there. Obviously, Shagger was there, and Arch and Steve-O and all the... Johnny Longmire came down from Sydney. Adam Simpson came down from Perth. So, it was a really good day. Really good day. Everyone got around. All the trainers, the Julie Tatnall, Swatter, the dietitian, Tony Elshaw, Harry Unglick, the doctor.
Jace
Gordon,
McCartney missed out.
Gordon and Roger.
The prelim, was he there?
Jace McCartney made an appearance.
Simo.
Which was great. Yeah, Simo was there. Yep. So big Mickey Martin was there. Mickey actually brought his daughters along. So that was good to see the family. Mick was in good form, as red as a beetroot. everyone, you know, just talking about what a great year it was. And it's funny, when you've got guys like Adam Simpson and Horse, who are premiership coaches and clearly have a bit of swagger and a bit of presence now, Swatter, that they're senior coaches, in and amongst that group yesterday, they were nothing more than the lads that
they're getting
we played
chipped away at, were
and
they?
Just getting potted, Swatter, left, right and centre. You know, it's amazing. And then, you know, they leave the room, and then once again, that's John Longmire, the senior coach of Sydney, and it's, you know, Adam Simpson, the senior coach of West Coast. But while they were in there, it is, they're just one of the boys. So it was good.
Everyone talks, Duck, about the premiership bond that Rocket had four times, and Swatter, you had at the Kangaroos, and you had a couple of times. Duck, is it still there, a premiership bond between those players 20 years later?
Oh, no doubt. No doubt it is. And it was great to see Byron Pickett made the effort to come across from South Australia. He was sitting in a hotel, mind you, yesterday. Someone rang him about 2:30 and said, because I think the Kangaroos flew him over and put him in a hotel, and they're ringing him up at about 3:00 saying, well, mate, where are you? We know that you're here because, you know, you flew over. He goes, he thought it was a nighttime function. So he was just sitting in the room just waiting for night, and then he was going to wander on down. But no, he eventually got there, and in actual fact, he got there at the perfect time because Kingy was talking about Julie Tatnall and dietitians, and I think she had the hardest time with Byron with the diet. I tell you what, David Keaton, I will say, did an unbelievable job. He sort of hosted it, got people up, spoke to Dennett, you know, spoke to key people, got Pike. Every single person that got up and spoke was very, very funny. I'm not sure, I didn't see any of that humour when they played, Swatter, but they were all very funny. And Kingy did a great job, actually. Did really, really well.
It was put to me, Duck, and you can confirm or deny this, that there was actually two kings in the room yesterday. There was the king of the playing group, which is obviously our man Wayne, and then in the corner there were the ancillary staff and the statisticians, and our man the Chew apparently was holding court. He is elevated above all and sundry in the world of statistics. True?
That is very, very true. So the Chew man, because of his profile, he was just, you should have seen
the chest out.
You should have seen the strut on him. Right. So when I walked in, there's sort of, you know, sort of groups everywhere, and there's a couple of different rooms. And over in the corner were the stat offers over there in the corner, and Chew Man was just holding court. He was a real cockatoo, he was. And it was good. It was good. Good to see everyone. And like I said, all the trainers, you know, Steve Campbell, the only millionaire drink man that got the sack. From a footy club.
Really?
I said, how did you end up getting the... He didn't get the sack. He just got asked not to come down one year. But he's a very successful builder.
He was running the drinks, was he?
And he did the drink. I said you weren't that good at it, really. When you, it was always too sweet or too watery. It was never quite that. So we hung a bit on him. And, it was a really good day.
Duck, is Byron Pigott the most feared man in football that you played with? Like, you know, I've heard players talk about just you knew he was on the ground and the force that he hip and shouldered with. Is there anyone you can think of who was a more dangerous on the ground than him?
He had one of those bodies, even though he wasn't ultra toned. He had one of those bodies at training when you're just running around, mucking around with one another, running in and bumping. He was just hard. And he had that uncanny ability, obviously super quick off the mark, but that. He had the timing. His timing when he hit someone, and look, you know, obviously that's not in the game anymore, but even if he hit someone just clean, you know, shoulder to shoulder, he really hurt people. He really seriously hurt people. And I think, like I said, combination of speed and timing was why he was so dangerous.
Yeah, we're about to put up on at Triple M Footy a photo of the Premiership reunion. I'm being told that our man Chew is pretty much front and centre like he was centre-half forward that day, getting himself involved, which was absolutely fantastic.
I think Chew Man wanted to sit in the cup.
Very nicely done by you, Duck. We've got time, and Jay-Z, to just tick over a little bit more news before we continue on with the show. Well, thanks for the insight, Duck. Fantastic.
I'm interested in the man Duck just mentioned, John Longmire. Wrote a story throughout the week that North are very much well pursuing Horse. So he is contracted to Sydney for one more year. And you speak to the Sydney Power Brokers, and they're adamant that he's going nowhere. But certainly North Melbourne will continue to pursue him. He'd be a perfect get. It would be a long term contract and a nice juicy deal. So we'll see where this heads in a month. Alistair Clarkson and Adam Simpson have already ruled themselves out. Just wonder whether Horse might still be a live chance.
We'll no doubt you asked him yesterday, Duck. I'm sure everybody asked him that question.
I think
Simo as well.
I mean, it's quite ironic that was at that time and all of this sort of stuff's going on North without a coach.
Arch was there.
Yeah, Arch was there, obviously. I think everyone had a chat to him about it, I'm sure. He didn't give too much away, Horse. But, the one thing I do know is he's been an unbelievably successful coach at Sydney. I think they've got a quality list. They're obviously, you know, I don't think they'll play finals this year, but they've got some real talent on their list. He's very happy in Sydney.
But he'd be perfect.
But I do. But I do believe, and this isn't talking. I do believe that he'll get an unbelievable offer to leave Sydney. It's whether I guess he weighs that up at all. But I think the offer is coming.
What's unbelievable in the modern coaching world, do you reckon?
I think he'd get some sort of offer that would make him the highest paid coach in the comp.
Who would be the highest paid coach, Jay-Z?
I think our man Roosie got a pretty good deal to go back to Melbourne.
That was subsidised, though, wasn't it?
I think we're talking for Horse. It'd be 1.5 or north.
1.5?
Yeah, probably north of that. Might even be closer to 2.
That's Rodney Gold Coast Suns type of money.
It's almost sort of money. The thing is, North's off-field staff, you know, they wouldn't be... all AFL clubs have a soft cap, don't they? So North's off-field staff...
So that's going to affect the soft cap, but really would if you're paying that much money.
Yeah, but
so
they'd have... North is one club...
That don't have...
Who'd have room.
Yep.
They would have room, the Kangas. So that wouldn't surprise me
North,
at all.
Do North think that they can get Horse?
They think he's worth pursuing.
Oh, no doubt, but that's not what I asked. Do the North people think they can get him?
I think they think there's some chance.
Yeah, I think they underestimate him. He's a very loyal individual. His family settled. His kids are at school. He's in contract.
If I was going to double your pay packet, I reckon you'd come and have a coffee as well.
What it does do, it gives him a lot of leverage at Sydney as well.
Correct. Done that. But I'm not sure that they've got as much room to move because they have got you know, some staff there who've had a lot of, you know, been for a long time and be well paid themselves. More room to move at the Kangas. So watch your space, man.
Philosophically, to anyone that wants to answer the question, should the coach be higher paid than any of the players that he's coaching?
Not necessarily.
Only if he's a good coach.
Mm. Not necessarily.
Right.
I think the player wages really jumped up.
So you think the players should get paid more than the senior
coach? No, I don't think there's an answer. I don't think it's a black and white answer either way. I think it depends on the person and the people.
Yeah, I think it depends on who the coach is.
The soccer or the basketball and that sort of thing, players get paid more. So,
yeah, they get paid a lot more, but should they get paid a lot more?
I don't think it's a moot point. I wouldn't worry about it too much.
Probably shouldn't have asked the question then, Rockets. Give me the old, it's a moot point and give me the wind-up.
Just lastly on the Johnny Longmire story, I mean, it is hard, and we've all got families, I think. You know, when you've got three kids enrolled in a prestigious Sydney school, you know, it would have to be a massive offer because you're shifting your whole family. And what if his 15-year-old son or 15-year-old daughter doesn't want to go? So that'd be the conversations around the coffee table at home would be as important as any.
Melbourne is closer to Corowa. Mm.
Yeah, for mine, that's a bit of a moot point. But anyway,
it should be two.
Actually, you know what? It's about half. Actually, no, it's sort of almost halfway, Corowa, isn't it?
Mm.
From Sydney to
Melbourne. Maybe you should give Horse some negotiating advice. I mean, when you're talking about sort of big offers and, you know, maybe you can help him with that because you're the master negotiator here.
Yeah, it was a very confusing time in my life, I can assure you now.
Howie's Hot Topics.
Alrighty. The beautiful Mrs. Howard was out with her girlfriends last night, so I was in charge of cooking, Schwatter.
Right, yes.
I have one meal I go to. That is the Hawaiian pizza for the kids.
Well, that's not really a meal.
It is for me. I don't cook much. What is your best performance in the kitchen?
I have a restaurant-worthy creamy chicken garlic pasta.
Do you now? Well, give me a few of the ingredients. Chicken, cream,
garlic, cream, a mixture of peppers with some onion.
Ooh.
And there you go.
Righto.
Fettuccine or?
No, just tubes.
Just a tube.
Yep.
Otherwise known as penne.
Yep.
Thanks, Chef. Yep. What about you, Rocket? Your number one go-to in the kitchen?
I'm not a very good cook like you, Howie.
Right.
I'm in your mark, but I've done a stir fry. I've done a curry once and buggered that up completely. So it was a bit too milky, a bit too much coconut milk in it. So, stir fry's about it.
Stir fry for you, Clarkie?
Salmon. Tender nail salmon.
Right.
Oh, you just buy a piece of salmon and put it in there.
That's more than
3 minutes. Flip it.
That's like cooking toast. That's like cooking toast.
What about you, Duck, when you're trying to impress?
No, it's actually not right. I'm a Barbie man.
Right.
And, I love cooking a steak on the Barbie. And it's not as easy as that. There is a technique and it just melts in your mouth. You can actually cut it with a bread and butter
knife.
What
is your technique? Really? Is it two or three stubbies?
Hey, two or three. Yeah.
Preferred cut of meat?
I fillet.
I fill it.
But and it's not the tastiest, but it's I just like that it's clean and low fat.
A good friend of mine, Craig Hutchison, who used to live in the same building as you in Port Melbourne, invited me and about 20 people to a barbecue once. This is Hutchie's cooking skills. I said, mate, do you want me to bring anything for the barbie? You know what he said? Can you bring a Barbie? Invited everyone round for a Barbie. Didn't have a Barbie, the Big Hutchie.
Didn't he convert his kitchen into a radio studio?
Yes.
So he had an apartment without a kitchen. He just ordered in. Is that true?
I helped him and Chris Jones move out of a place near Channel 9 back in the day. Chris Jones, who is producing the cricket now at Channel 7. And we went to do the final tidy up. They'd been living in there 4 years. And I thought, what's that in the oven? Word out of a lie, it was the oven instructions. 4 years, the thing hadn't been opened. But we're getting a little bit sidetracked here. I made a terrible mistake last night because, as I said, the beautiful Erica was away. Kids, big fans of Aaron Finch. So we sit down at 7:30. I'm thinking I've got a great night. I can flip channels. I can watch sport. I have control of the TV for the first time. I said to the kids, all right, you want to watch some cricket? They said yes. I said, okay, you guys can stay up until Finchie gets out. 153 runs later, 10:45, Michael Clarke's talking about him making 200, and I'm thinking, Finchie, just get out. Jay-Z, what was the last big mistake you made?
Oh, last night, I was thinking about stupidly, and it's annoyed me all day. I called Tim Embry Daniel yesterday, and I don't know why. I know him as Tim Embry, and on air yesterday, I called him Daniel Membry, and Nathan Brown looked at me as if I should be out in the street somewhere. It's probably fair enough.
Yeah, he would have been supportive. Duck?
Last mistake. What time is it, Howie? Too many.
Too many for you, Duck. Yeah. Rocket?
Had a meeting and forgot to turn up. An appointment.
Oh, no, Duck. Who was it with, Rocket? North Melbourne?
No.
Carl?
No.
Okay, we'll leave it at that.
Nothing to do with footy.
Okay.
2 years ago, it's a Friday night, and it's about 5 to 6, and this is back when I used to drink a bit, and I'd just taken the lid off a big can of Sapporo, and then Lee Simon's phone number came up on my phone.
Head of Triple M football.
And you know when you get that sick feeling in your guts? It happened immediately, and I thought, I'm not meant to be at my kitchen table about to knock this beer off, am I? And he rang me and goes, mate, why aren't you at 88 Stadium? You're calling Friday night.
When was the last time you had a beer? You're off the alcohol, aren't you?
Well, over nearly a year and a half.
Did you find it a difficult thing or not?
No.
Right. And the reason behind it without going too far?
Probably better off without it.
Okay. That's a perfect explanation. All right. The kids obviously stayed up till all hours of the night watching their man, their favourite cricketer, Finchie. Clarkey, who is your favourite Australian cricketer of all time?
Yeah, I can't go past Warnie.
Warnie?
Just in the big moments. I was a leg spinner as well, so I just used to love the razzle dazzle and all that.
What did you have? You had the big turning leg spinner?
He couldn't spin a chocolate wheel.
I made the Geelong team rocket.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
Did you have the wrong one?
I had the wrong one and got someone out on the last ball of the day. I knew last ball of the day, you just want to leave.
Why don't you stand up and show us?
Yeah. And you don't want to go out the last ball of the day. So I put a real wide one out there and really ripped it as a wrong one. He left it, right, as I thought he would. He left it and it spun back and knocked out his... I took my shirt off and just ran around the island.
Oh, no.
That actually happened.
Wow. There you go. Favourite Australian cricketer is Warnie for the white Kenyan Jay Clark. What about you, Doug?
That's a good question. And when you...
It's not an easy one.
It's not easy because I think when I was young, growing up, really, I mean, obviously DK Lilly was
That's right. And that's the thing you get influenced by... I think your age, when you're young, you get more influenced by that. And there's different eras. Mm.
But the War Brothers.
I'm
going to get two in because they're war. So I'm going to say the War. I love them both. I thought they were brilliant. And when Steve did a bit of bowling in his early days, I love the way he moved it. And obviously Mark was very talented. So I love the War Brothers.
Mark always calls him Stephen. Whenever you're talking about, it's always Stephen. Nothing short.
Are they tight as brothers?
Yeah, they're tight. But I think, as they both say, they grew up sharing a room for a long, long time. So then once they started playing cricket together, they had nothing
more elegant batsman than Mark Waugh when he's on.
None.
Yeah.
None.
What about Steve Waugh's 200 in the Caribbean against Curtly Ambrose?
Yes.
That was...
Won the Frank Worrell Trophy for the first time in how many years?
Played some pretty gutsy innings.
Yeah, my word. Rocket, your favourite Australian cricket of all time?
Oh, maybe like Doug, there's a few. I think growing up, it was Gregory Stephen and DK were probably the two. And then being a Tasmanian and knowing Booney was probably him, and then Punter were probably the ones.
So you've thrown five in there?
That's four.
Okay, four. Schwatter?
Like Rocket and Duck, grew up when Australia had this rich rivalry with the West Indies and England. And I loved his grittiness. He hated losing. And I think his absolute want to win. I loved Alan Border.
Yes.
Loved him. Just... a great leader and a really defiant cricketer.
You, Howie?
Yeah, probably Alan Robert Border. I've still got my AB scrapbook at home. Took it to Fox Cricket last year. He thought I was a stalker.
What about the current team? You're close with those boys.
Finchie. Yeah. Finchie's my favourite, but I'm a big fan of Ricky Ponting as well. All right, talking about Finchie, always puts his chewing gum in before he goes out to bat, to the point where my kids again said, do you think he took the chewing gum out when he met the Queen a couple of weeks ago? Pre-game habit. Swatter.
I had two. I would always go, just before we ran out after the final meeting, I'd go and put my hands under boiling hot water because I had bad circulation. And then the other one was I would always go through the banner last and I couldn't touch the banner.
Really?
I was like you on that.
Yep.
Some type of freak you were.
Just weird.
Rocket. Mine was trying to have something new every week, whether it was socks or jocks or something like that, and run out last in the and around the banner.
What about if you pulled out a new pair of jocks and you went out and had a blinder? You'd go back to the same pair, wouldn't you?
No, I'd have the theory that was the new pair.
Oh, really?
Rocket was perfect because he had the Hawthorn jocks, the yellow under the brown stripes in the back. And yellow oldie, the front, but a goodie, that one. What a duck pregame.
I used to have a few little things that I just, you know, routine more, but nothing. There was actually, I thought about it, there was nothing in particular. I went through a phase of listening to the same music for a while, but I sort of found that if you got caught too much up in that, and then if there was a time where you couldn't have that or travel or whatever, then that just played with your head. So I tended not to have something that I did exactly the same every week.
Clarkey, before you were going to bowl those big wrongs, or maybe when you're sitting down to write an article, footy, pre-game habit?
Footy, I was always socks down, jumper out. So a bit of a sloppy
Now, you've described yourself as a Shane Warne style leg spinner. Yeah. You've described yourself as one of the elite cross country runners Geelong's ever seen. That's only in this show. Yeah. What type of footballer were you?
It's an Andrew Corazzo type. Oh.
Andrew Corazzo type. So you're a bit further, a bit more.
My under 14 coach used to say, I used to like, get the footy. I just absolutely butcher it, like all the time. Under 14 coach once said, I've said this before, but yeah, get so much of the footy, Clarky. When are you going to learn to kick? Like, I just put it on a platter for the opposition. Generally, so then he turned me into a tagger.
Right, and that's why you're writing about it now.
What sort of sporting career did you have?
Very limited.
You were a skillful small forward, Mark Lacroix style.
That's why I like to think of myself.
Did you have a routine?
He's going to introduce himself to the ball before the game.
No.
I'm not going to touch you much. I'm not going to see you much today. Just like
did you put product in your hair when you played, Howie?
It'd be fair to say I was an exciting footballer and a very boring cricketer. Two very different styles of my sporting exploits, neither of which are very good. All right, Ben Stratton obviously was being a little bit annoying towards Oratio Fantasia. This might not be easy. I'll start with you, Swatter. Tell me a or the most, doesn't matter if it's either, annoying opponent you've played on.
No, there's two.
Oh.
And they're both takers.
This is the thing I like about you. Say it how it is.
Tony Free.
Tony Free?
Yes.
Out of Richmond?
Yes. And Chris Bond.
Chris Bond.
And they both played for the same club and they used to terrorise
them. What was their annoying
taggers
about them? Taggers.
Yep.
What type of stuff would they bring to the table?
Ben Stratton times 10.
Really?
Yep.
Pinchy?
Yeah. Oh, pinchy. You take a pinch every day of the week.
Righto. Rocket? Annoying opponent?
I must admit, I wasn't good enough to have an annoying opponent. Probably the one used to annoy me was Jezza, because he was towards the end of his career and he used to pull my pants down and give me a smacking.
Alex Jezzalenko.
He was about 30, 31, 32, about 3 years in a row, so he was annoying for me.
We've got to get some more Rocket Files. There's not many he hasn't played with or against or coached against. Duck, most annoying?
I had a beer with him yesterday, actually, Jace McCartney. So when
he was
at Collingwood and then at Adelaide.
I remember Collingwood doing
just
that.
He
was a niggler.
He was just a scragger. And then when he ended up at North, I made sure that Jackie King put me in the ring
the boxing
and got
coach
all of the frustration out over there. he was an annoying opponent.
Anything you've got to bring to the table with Mr. Decathlete over there or not? Or are you done for the day?
No. No, nothing. No real annoying opponent. Okay. But I did get given out handled ball once.
What about people you work with? Any annoying people you work with?
No, I love all my colleagues.
Nah, come on. Surely someone from another
who works for an opposition.
Yes.
Yes,
please.
Outlet.
Yes, please.
Like Age or
TV network, maybe.
Why don't you just go on air with what you go with off air every single week? How are you trying to weasel?
Either you say it or we're about to say it for you.
No, we won't speak for him. Nicely done, boys. I don't know how you got your hand with a ball story into that little one, but anyway.
Tom Brown.
Nice edition of the Hot Topic.
This is Jay-Z's Big Three.
Interesting, yeah, interesting what's happening at Hawthorn at the moment, guys. If you saw the game on Friday night, they really struggled in their forward half, didn't they? I mean, they lacked probably a big target. They tried James Sicily up there. They tried Johnny Segler out there, who missed that easy set shot early in the first quarter. To me, it feels like if Jared Rufford doesn't play now, you wonder if he's going to play much of a role at all in the second half of the season. Is it time to bring back Jared Rufford, Rocket?
Well, I think you could tell from Alistair Clarkson's comments when he first got dropped that it was not much of a chance he can play it. And it was give Mitchell Lewis more time. Mitchell Lewis is playing at Box
BFL.
Hill. He's playing the Box Hill. So
kicked two yesterday, I think.
So it's not really room for that. So I would think Clark is making not a statement, but that's where it is. He's probably not going to play him. I think he's probably only bringing back if he thinks he can help them win a game to get in the eight. If they're not going to make the eight, I don't think he'll get a game.
So would you recall him this week on what you saw?
He didn't play that well in the VFL either, I don't think.
He didn't?
So
pretty quiet.
I think he'd be struggling too, to be honest.
Rocket, where do you bring in sentiment into your coaching? If it gets to the real tail end of the year and the Hawks possibly can't play finals, this is a man that's been...
I think you're playing.
Right, so you play him at some stage.
I think there has to be room for sentiment, but not the expense of the team and what you're trying to achieve. Now, if they're not going to be able to make the eight... like, it was a game at the last game of the year, and it was, I suppose, like a knockout final where you pick your best team. But I think he deserves a farewell game at the end of the season. If they're not going to make the eight, yeah, I think you're playing.
It's a balancing act, though, isn't it, Schwatter? Because it'd be fair to say Joe Roughhead's in the Hawks' best 22.
Was.
Well,
I don't think he's necessarily in there.
No, I think that's what he's saying at the moment. He's not in his best 22. Yep.
You don't reckon Roughhead's in the Hawks'
best 22? Well, that's what Clarkson's saying. He'd be back in. Yeah, clearly.
Because they were fighting for the eight and they dropped him and haven't brought him back in.
Yep.
So I think he's saying he's not in the best 22.
It is a balancing act, and I think it's always tougher, not that I've coached, but it's always tougher to balance the respect and responsibility to make sure you manage it with a star, which Ruffy has been for a long period of time. But it should never be at the expense of another player who's got an opportunity to get games into him that's going to be there over the next 5 to 10 years. But I also agree that he's done more than enough to have one or maybe two games. If they're not going to make the eight, let him play, let him say his goodbye, and let's remember him for the great that he's been for the club.
They're going through a period where they're going to have to, I know, and it's not in Clarko's makeup, and I think he said publicly recently that they're not about being, you know, going down to then go back up. But when you look at their list, I mean, Ruffy will retire at the end of the year. He won't be at all. Then you Burgoyne, you know, maybe not. Birchall, maybe not. So there's three. The amount of footy IQ that this club has lost over the last 3 years, I mean, they've basically got no spine. I mean, young Mitchell's obviously a young player. The other one's Frawley. You know, he's towards the end of his career as well. So, you know, they really, and they're in a position they're in, Schwatter, because they've been so good for so long. So they've had no opportunities to go to the draft and get young talent, but they've been able to hand-pick guys from other clubs, and they've done it as well as anyone. But I think I wrote a little while ago that, you know, they're going to have to go to the draft. Let's be honest, the draft was the reason why they got to where they got to, because they got Ruffy and they got Lewis, Buddy, and they got Mitchell, they got Buddy all around the same time, and they all came through together and they had sustained success. But they're going to have to go back to that now.
The issue was the draft rules have changed, Duck, because the priority pick doesn't exist anymore, so you don't get the pairs of players.
Yeah, so they are in a real and the fact that they're so well drilled and know what each other's doing and system based, and that system they know inside out, makes them still competitive. But their list has got a lot of work to do, I would have thought.
As someone that keeps a reasonably close eye on them, I thought the coaching performance last year to get that team into the top four last year...
It was a fake top four.
It was extraordinary
to
get that team into the top four.
Because they overachieved. And that's like Chris, that's
they really weren't overachieved. They weren't a top four team.
You
weren't... The fact that they went out in straight sets sort of...
And that's what he's saying, that they shouldn't have finished probably top four. They weren't good enough to be a top four team, but he was able to get them there.
Yeah.
It was. That's what I always said at the start of the year. They've got to temper expectations where they're going to be this year. I thought they'd be between 7 and 10. That's about where they'd finish. And they... probably lost some close ones. They should be close to the eight, but they're not. At the moment, a couple of games out, so it's going to be tough for them.
The fascinating fly on the wall, just knowing what
is being said between Clarko and Ruffy at the moment and how much management that would take. Like, I know he's a champion player, a very good player, Ruffy. You just wonder how much he would still crave that one-on-one coach feedback, because at the moment, would he be thinking the same things that we're thinking? When's he going to come back? Is he going to play again? Like, that would be going on inside his head, wouldn't
it? Oh, for sure. As I learned earlier in my coaching days, when I spoke about Plugger, it's no matter how good the player is, whether you're Duck or Swat or whoever, we've still got our own insecurities, we've still got our own ego. You've got some doubt at some stage. Now, there must be doubt in Ruffy's head. You would think that the relationship that he's got with Clark over such a period of time that he can go and knock on his door and have a chat. So,
be pretty frank.
Yeah, you would think that that's been going on and there'd be constant dialogue.
The story is the story of Clarko and the dog.
Oh, it's standing yesterday.
Did you hear the story? Should we play the story, maybe, Howie, or
halftime?
At halftime,
yeah, we'll give that a go at halftime.
Oh, I think that is a very, very, good, it's a fantastic story. So we'll play it for.
Can you summarise it for us?
Summarise it. Well, Alistair Clarkson going over and beyond what I would have thought a senior coach would normally do, and
buying a player a puppy,
and rolling up on his doorstep, and the player thinking. So Alistair's there with his young son, I think it was, and there's a puppy, and I won't say the player yet because we'll play it later, but the player thought, Clarko and young fella's got a puppy here, so Byron Clarko's gone, the puppy's for you. I think you need a puppy.
And the said mentioned player wasn't really that
into dogs.
Enamoured by the puppy. Yeah, but anyway, we'll give that a run at halftime. I like that. Clarky, move on, please.
Yeah, hey, on Saturday, there's probably the most anticipated individual battle of the season coming up. It's Stephen May versus Jesse Hogan, the MCG Melbourne playing Fremantle on Saturday. Steve May, one game back. Jesse Hogan, his form has just been okay. It's just been solid. Probably tapered off a little bit compared to what he was doing at Melbourne. Duck, would the Demons be nervous about what's going to unfold on Saturday and losing Hogan, the effect that it's had on the forward line?
Where's that game played? Did
the
you say?
MCG.
Would they be nervous?
Yeah.
I don't think they'd be worried about Jesse Hogan at all. I think they'll be more worried about what's going on from quarter to quarter.
Well, I remember we talked about this last year, and I said that Jesse Hogan was a fair chance to leave the football club, and your reaction was, why in the hell would they be letting this guy go? You were very surprised at the time that they made that move.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't think you want to let talented footballers go, and Jesse Hogan certainly that. In saying that, I think that Jesse wanted to obviously go home. He obviously family, all of that back in Perth. We know that there was a couple of little issues off the ground, whether Melbourne thought that, you know, they'd be better off him going back to Perth and being around people that can support him more in that area. But look, Melbourne, is it a mistake that Melbourne let him go? Well, if you let a talented footballer go, I think you're always going to miss him. And Tom McDonald's been, I guess, a victim of that, because he now gets the number one defender. When Jesse Hogan was there, he was getting the number two or sometimes number three.
Yeah, it's interesting, you say that, and that's true, but towards the end of last year, Hogan didn't play, and Wiedemann played, and Tom McDonald was playing very well. So I think that's probably just an easy easy solution.
And Tom was full of confidence.
Yeah, he was playing well. Yeah. That's what I was saying. So not just necessarily because Hogan was there. I think it's a team situation. Yeah. His confidence has been sapped.
Shorter, who would you rather, Hogan or May right now?
I'd rather be Jesse Hogan, given that Freo are in the eight and playing good footy.
Mm-hmm.
Well, one plays forward and one's a defender. You always prefer to be the forward.
Great summation, Duck.
He loves the key
forwards.
You
always prefer to be a forward. Let's be honest. If you got real talent, you're playing in the forward line.
I've got to say, Duck has presented reasonably well, but the other man that's just rocked in, that was front and centre in a photo from the reunion last night, is not looking too good.
No, I'm not sure.
Not looking too good at all
today. I think he'll be sticking to disposals, and that's it. After he spent a fine afternoon with the North Melbourne Premiership reunion yesterday.
We spoke about Ben Stratton and the crowd behaviour, obviously, which have been the dominant topics in football. But Rocket Ed, you've been part of a double-page spread in the Sunday Herald Sun today. The great Ablett debate. Who is a better player between Gary Ablett Senior and Gary Ablett Junior? You've broken down to all these categories: speed, footy IQ, marking, goal kicking, field kicking, etc., explosion, aggression, X factor, and you have scored it
to Junior, 86 out of 100 to Gary Ablett Senior, 84. What was the deciding factor?
No, it wasn't.
Think?
You know, John Anderson phoned up and said, "I've got these categories and I'll mark them." And I said, "Sometimes stats don't tell you the whole picture about who's the better." And I still say that Gary Ablett Senior is the most talented player I've seen. I would think now over the length of the career, Gary Ablett Jr. may have snuck in front because he's playing better at 35 than what the old man was. But, and I said, you'll break them down and probably Gary Jr. comes out in front, and maybe it might be the case, because just plain figures doesn't mean it's the whole. And I think Gary Sr. is super talented, more instinctive, natural, had every base covered. And I think Jr. has too. I mean, obviously Jr.'s one of the best five players, probably played the game the last 40 years. But on stats there of what he wanted to measure on, you probably have Junior in front. But I still think Gary Seen is the most talented player that I've seen. Not the best player I've seen, but the most talented player I've seen.
Who would you boys score ahead? Who's the greater player, Ablett or Senior or Junior?
Well, Senior's kicked over 1,000 goals.
That's unbelievable what he's done.
You can't. I don't.
And he started on a wing and played half-forward flank.
Correct.
And kicked 1,000 goals. Like, it's unbelievable.
And by the way, you're not comparing apples with apples.
No,
one's
that's
a,
right.
One's a, although Ablett a Senior could play on ball, wing, half forward, whatever, but you know, kick over 1,000 goals, I think that sums it up there.
Consistency, Junior, but for the ability to influence a game with impact and sheer brilliance,
yeah,
the old man.
Senior.
What do you think, Howie?
I doesn't care what I think. I think it's amazing, though, that this young bloke that came to Geelong and they were shielding him away from the media and he had that sort of fluffy hair, whether he would get a game was the original discussion around Gary Ablett. And now, if you'd said 15 years ago, this bloke will be potentially better than his dad, there's no one in the world would have believed you. It's absolutely extraordinary.
And went through a period where the Geelong leadership group were really hard on him because they felt that he wasn't fulfilling his potential.
I remember when I was working at the Geelong Advertiser, did a front page story on Kevin Sheedy saying he'd be the next Lee Matthews. And it was in the first couple of years of his career.
Wow.
But he saw something in Gary Ablett Jr. that thought it'd be probably not a bad comparison,
I think the thing with Gary Jr., his footy IQs, footy IQ as in seeing the game and be able to influence with his decision making, is probably as good as you've seen, probably up there with Diesel Williams and
Rocket, my generations are often crossed over because you played with so many great players. Were you at Hawthorn when Gary Ablett was there?
Yes. Oh, yeah, with the whole Ablett family.
So they let him go. This is a Rocket Files off the top.
Oh, there was a bit happening off field. So he went up to Murdoford for a while, for a bit of R&R, and then that's where he was playing with Ovens and Murray League, and that's where Geelong saw him playing.
Could you see in him at Hawthorn anything that led you to believe that he would become what he did?
Oh, in that story in the paper, I gave the example. I used to go to the, because playing the seniors, you go to the seconds early to watch him, how much he could do. Like, he never turned up a lot for training, you never saw him around a lot. But things he could do as an 18-year-old were absolutely unbelievable. So the answer, short answer is yes. The doubt was whether he had the attitude and the discipline and what was required, and it showed that he probably didn't, but he had the ability to overcome all that and be the great player he was.
And what type of fella was he as an 18-year-old?
He was fairly quiet. All the Ablets were pretty quiet, pretty sort of to themselves a lot.
Insular?
Insular, maybe with Tucky as well. Tucky was a quiet, obviously part of the family, but he's a nice enough guy. Yeah, he was fine. He was good, but he was a quiet kid.
You were just checking on Max King. So he's gone off from the VFL. He's pacing the boundary line. It's his reconstructed knee that had the concern. So fingers crossed for him. He's with the St Kilda Medicos at the moment. He's been in great form in the VFL. So we hope certainly that he is okay. Taking pick four in last year's draft and a very special talent. Hey, St Kilda just got over the line yesterday against Gold Coast up in Townsville. One by 4 points. And it was really Tim Membry and Jack Billings, who probably got the Saints out of jail on this one, because it was probably the most poorly skilled game I've seen for the season. It was absolutely woeful. But Jack Billings, who was expected to sign a nice old contract worth about $800,000 a year, who was a class above yesterday, and as I said, only won by 4 points. Let's take a listen to Alan Richardson, the St Kilda coach, on some of those skill errors, and his man, Jack Billings, who was excellent.
Yeah, no, the first half was average footy. It was, you know, we've come off the bye. I thought our prep was really good. The players acknowledged it post-game there. They had a chat about our first half. I've never seen us make so many mistakes. We've had issues in terms of finish and converting, and whilst that was still an issue for us, our general ball use and our build-up's been much better than what we saw today, so it was hard to watch. He's improving all the time, Jack. It's you know, we think it's quite scary where he might end up. He's a really determined player. He's driven to get there, and we thought he was good today.
The Cavalry will arrive for St Kilda over the next month. They're hopeful of getting Jake Carlisle back from that back issue. Great to see Jack Stephen training with the Saints. He might be 3 weeks away from some senior footy rocket.
I didn't see the game, but everyone said how poor it was the first half. I think it's a good win for them, to be honest, because I picked the Suns to win. If the Suns were ever going to win a game, it was against that was the game they're going to win, because it's in Queensland. Saints had to travel a long way. They had a lot of injuries. Now, they lost Geary, Jack Stephen's out, and they've got all those other players out. To be able to come back from 30-odd points, hopefully they can get some confidence out of that. Once they started using the ball better, then they looked a better side in that second half.
Daniel Hannabury is the man who might be in the frame to come back this week, Howie. So we look forward to seeing him back soon. Also, we mentioned Tom Liberatore earlier. It is his reconstructed knee that he did tweak last night. The club is hopeful it's just a bone jarring issue and that he may not miss any footy at all. Let's have a listen to the coach, Luke Beveridge, on his gun clearance winner, Tom Liberatore, and that injury last night.
We're optimistic he jarred it, and we're optimistic that he hasn't damaged any of the ligaments. So, he will have a scan, and we'll give you some more on that when we get the detail.
Mickey Roberts will have an update in the game preview. I think he might have spoke to the man in question last night. All right, we are not too far away from a start here. The Kangaroos set to take on the GWS Giants. Hey, Rocket, give me 15 seconds. When are the Gold Coast going to be good?
I don't know. How long's a piece of string? I've got no idea.
Gee, they've had a rough start to their time in the AFL, haven't they?
Yeah, but...
I think he's done a good job this year, Rocket. Stewie Jew. I think they've been competitive.
Been in winnable positions.
They've
more
been in a lot of winnable not, positions. But... Not dissimilar to Carlton. Mm-hmm. I think that they should be looking at this year as being a good one.
Shut up! The footy's on Triple M!
Triple M rocks footy.